In 1611, God forged a sword. If you can't see the hand of God, you've got your head in the sand. Only, listen to me, only the English-speaking people have been evangelizing this world for nearly 400 years. Only the English-speaking people. Now, if you were God, you were going to send forth the English-speaking people to evangelize the world, wouldn't you say, hey, I've got to give them my word in their language? Well, that's what God did. At the close of the Dark Ages, when he was ready to start the great missionary movement that has lasted clear down to this moment, the will of the trumpet sound, he said, I'm going to give them a sword. So God forged the sword in 1611. And he said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I've got that sword in my hand. This is it. This is it. There is no other. This is it. Now the spoilers have come along, and they're out to replace it with their garden tool. Because the devil doesn't fear garden tools, especially when he made them in the first place. So they've given us the inferior mattocks and colders and forks of the Revised Standard Version and the Anchor Bible and the so-called Bible and the Douay Bible and the Jerusalem Bible and the Amplified Bible and the Moffat Bible and the Weymouth Bible and the Goodspeed Bible and the Old American Standard and the New American Standard and the so-called Living Bible and the so-called New English Bible. And the New King James Version. And the New International Version. Anymore, when I hear the word new, unless it's New Testament, I get sick to my stomach. Now let me ask you, you're all very intelligent. Especially that section right over there. Did Jesus Christ know the hour was going to come upon us with 111 different garden tools? Did he? What did he tell you to buy? A sword! He never told you to buy a coulter. He never told you to buy a garden hoe. He never told you to buy a pitchfork. He never told you to buy a dull-blunted axe. He said, buy a sword! I did! You can't fight with a garden tool. There's a war on. I bought a sword. I've been in the fight. I'm still in the fight. I'm going to stay in the fight. I'm going to tell you something. I will fight over the King James Bible. I will fight for the King James Bible. And I will fight with the King James Bible. I will fight over my sword, I will fight for my sword, and I'll fight with my sword. And that's a good three-point outline, Brother Howe, so I'm just going to put it. Get that down. I said, first of all, I will fight over the King James Bible. Now, Saul was naive. I'm not. I know what's going on. Yet I talk to preachers who ought to know better. I'm tired of my independent Baptist preachers who say to me, oh, this controversy over the King James and the other verses, it's a non-issue with me. A non-issue? A non-issue? That's the sissy britches way of saying, I don't want to fight. You show me a man calls himself a preacher and says it's a non-issue, I'll show you a lace on his underwear.
Casey, let's not stir the waters here. Let's not upset someone.
Hey, pal, when you go forth to fight, you do stir the waters, don't you? You do upset the crowd, don't you? Jesus said, buy a sword. Go to war. There's a battle on. It is an issue with me whether I have a sword or not. It's an issue with me whether this King James Bible is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God or not. It's an issue, and I'll fight over it. If it's not the perfect, inspired, inerrant Word of God, then it's just another colder, just another mattock, just another garden tool. When I read in here in 2 Timothy 4:2, to preach the Word. It is an issue with me whether I have the Word to preach or not. When I'm told to go out there and get people saved, I'm told that people are born again by the incorruptible seed. Then, friend of mine, it makes a difference with me. It's an issue with me whether I've got a corruptible seed or an incorruptible seed. But I'm told to go forth and fight the powers of darkness and wickedness in high places. It is an issue with me whether I've got a sword or a garden tool. I will fight over the King James Bible. Secondly, I will fight for the King James Bible. Jesus told me to buy a sword. And I did. You try to take my sword from me, you're going to have a knockdown, drag out, bloody nose, skull cracking, knuckle busting fight on your hands. You remember about 30, 35 years ago when the liberal politicians started getting a hold of this country like they got it? Gun control, they said. Gun control. I love what the National Rifle Association came out with that big bumper sticker that said, you'll take my gun from me when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. I feel that way, too. Well, let me tell you something. You'll take my sword from me when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. I will fight for my King James Bible. Let the Alexandrian Philistines try to pawn off their garden tools. They'll never do it with me. Now, most of you know the garden tools wear out. Sword doesn't. Today, in the average Christian bookstore, you can buy about 31, 32, 33 different versions. As I said, I think I said earlier, there's been 111 up to this point since 1884 in the English language. You can still get about 30, 31, 32. What does that tell you about the other ones? This one's almost 400 years old. But see, this is the sword of the Spirit. And the Spirit keeps breathing on it. He keeps it alive, you see. The others are just garden tools. So they're not even printing the Revised Thinking Version anymore. The New American Satanic Version, they're not printing that anymore. It's fizzle now. No, the long list of those others that I just ran through, either you can't get them anymore or that you just got a few of them that are left over from what was printed 15 years ago. We're down today to basically two garden tools that are really being pawned off to people that ought to know better. The New King James and the New International. I want to demonstrate for the next few minutes. Brother Howell, all this shouting, is that going on my time?
I'll try not to.
All right, let's talk about the new King James Version.
I'd rather not, but we have to.
I have to say to me,
what do you think of the new King James?
It's no more the new King James than I'm the new King Tut. It's an Alexandrian Philistine garden tool. When you open up the new King James, it'll be like all the perversions. It's copyrighted. That's not copyrighted.
Now, what's the difference? When you copyright a book, you are saying, those are my words, and if you print it, I'll sue your socks off. So when they put out, when the Thomas Nelson Company put out the new King James and copyrighted it, they said, those are our words. This is not copyrighted. Now, some of you are thumbing through your King James Bible to see if yours is. Now, let me tell you something. Some of you will find a copyright, but what they've copyrighted, you've got one of those with notes in it, or even a chain reference. They can copyright that. They cannot copyright the text. Those are God's words. And if I had the money most of you Baptist preachers have, I could buy me a big fancy printing press and I could print this one and print this one and print this one and nobody could sue me. I guarantee you God won't sue me. He loves those that publish His Word. But you try publishing the text of the New King James and Thomas Nelson, take you to court and sue you. Well, those are His words. They're words. That's why. You can't copyright God's words. They were here before you were anyway, see?